Welcome to the Utah House of Representatives podcast. My name is Harry Hansen, and I'll be your host. Thank you for joining me for the fourth episode of the Utah House of Representatives podcast. If you joined us last week, then you know Utah loves its state parks. It's where we recreate year-round, and it's where many fond memories are made. You also know that our state parks are at a breaking point because we have been loving them to death, so much so that many upgrades are needed to ensure they remain open for years to come. On today's episode, we are going to talk about some things that are in the works to keep our state parks running long into the future. Now, the things we are going to talk about are not necessarily things that will be happening, but ideas that have been discussed. All we need is some additional funding to make them a reality. Before we get started with what is in the works for our state parks, we are first going to have a small discussion about what's happening in the parks of some other states. This section will be devoted a little towards what these parks are doing because of COVID-19, but also provide us a good idea of what's working and what's not working in our neighboring states. Next, we will get into the meat of things that are happening in our state parks currently to help keep up with the additional demand that has been created by COVID-19. And finally, we'll discuss some ideas that are in the works to bring improvements to our state parks. Without further ado, let's get started. Let's start off with our friends from up in Oregon. They have a lot of beautiful places to visit, including their state parks. Because of COVID-19, Oregon has made some changes to their parks policies to encourage smaller crowds. One thing they did was increase camping and entrance fees to out-of-state visitors. This both increases funding for the parks to help them with necessary expenditures due to the higher than average number of visitors, and keeps the burden off of the back of the residents of the state. Additionally, they have a policy that prevents anyone from camping in their parks without a 24-hour notice, even if the park is nearly empty. I'm not sure how this one helps with social distancing unless the park is completely filled, but if you're in Oregon, just know you will not be able to camp in any of their parks unless you have a detailed itinerary and know which camping sites you'll be staying at during each leg of your trip. New Mexico decided to take a measure with out-of-state visitors that is slightly different. Instead of increasing the entrance fees and camping fees to those from out-of-state, the good state has closed access to their parks to anyone who is not a resident of New Mexico. Their thoughts on this seem to be that the state parks were created for residents of the state, and rather than dealing with overcrowding because of an out-of-state visitor, they decided to get rid of that variable altogether. Now, this is just a temporary change to accommodate the citizens of New Mexico. This change is likely to go away once COVID-19 is no longer of major concern. For Colorado, we're going to talk more about their funding structure than the changes made due to COVID-19. Colorado and Utah have nearly the same amount of state parks, with Utah actually having a few more. The real difference, however, is how much on average each state spends on maintaining their state parks. Utah, for example, spends on average $10 million a year from the restricted account that funds our state parks. This funding comes from the state parks themselves because they have been operating in a self-sustaining manner for years. The way it works is all entrance fees, camping fees, and other fees you pay at the state park goes towards keeping those parks in full operation. Colorado's model is similar in some regards with one major difference. On average, Colorado spends $25 million a year or more on their state parks. They can handle this additional burden because 10% of the state's lottery proceeds have been dedicated towards park maintenance. They also use their entrance fees like we do, but that is less than half of the total funding their parks get. Utah has more state parks and less money to maintain them, which makes it difficult to keep our state park facilities in top shape. Now, I'm not saying we need a lottery system in the state to help with this funding gap, but I do think it's time we get creative and find new ways to invest in our state parks. Now for the fun part. There are some great opportunities our state parks have to attract people and bring in more revenue. But first, let's talk about how Utah has handled the issues surrounding COVID-19. Utah has not taken to the extremes like New Mexico or Oregon in terms of a broad out-of-state visitors ban or fee increase, but we have implemented a few of those things that mirror those policies. For example, Utah state parks have made it possible to pay your entrance fee in advance online. This is being done to prevent any unnecessary contact. However, for those who visit state parks on a more spontaneous occasion, there will still be somebody at the booth to collect your fee and provide you with a pass. Additionally, Utah has not increased entrance fees across the board on out-of-state visitors. We have, however, seen a significant increase of out-of-state visitors at state parks that border with other states. This has increased the demand on park resources and facilities, which now require additional attention. In these parks, the out-of-state visitor entrance fee has been increased. State parks that do not border other states have not seen this change. but have been given the ability to make that change if they start to see a large influx of visitors from out of state. Let's now talk about state park employees. These are the ones who ensure our parks run smoothly, stay maintained, and these are the people who ensure everyone stays safe while recreating at these parks. It is hard, however, for some state parks to hire these officers because they are in remote locations. Goblin Valley, for example, is miles away from any town, and it's a small one at that. For such situations, the parks often have living quarters for these employees to take advantage of. These facilities also need upgrades, and some parks just don't have any. Additional funding is needed to provide this type of housing and employment to ensure our facilities are clean and maintained. Now, on to another housing project. There is currently a pilot program happening at a few parks that is designed to bring higher paying visitors. With Airbnb on the rise, a great opportunity has opened up to bring another type of visitor to our state park. Tiny houses, or park model RVs as they're called, have been purchased to place in a few of these parks across the state. These RVs are well built, have working plumbing, and are heated and cooled. Additionally, the fascia is completely customizable, so the outward appearance can actually mirror its environment. That means these little apartments can blend in with the red rocks of southern Utah and the green mountain landscapes of northern Utah. If this project is successful in bringing in more long-term visitors and we see a positive impact on state park revenue, we could see more of these customizable RVs in the future. There are other ways for our state parks to expand too. With an increase of visitors to our state parks each year, more and more people find themselves unable to find camping sites when they visit our state parks. In many places, the surrounding land is already owned by the state parks, but there is not additional money to develop this land into more camping sites. With additional funding, we could create more campsites in our parks across the state, ensuring everyone in Utah has the place where they can go and recreate. Additionally, there are a few state parks out there that have zero campgrounds for visitors to stay at, which is truly a missed opportunity. Others have no electrical hookups, running water, or restroom facilities. These, along with the ones mentioned, are areas that, if funded, can really increase the quality of experience our visitors have when they come to visit our state parks. These are just a few of the examples and a few ways that our state parks can grow to accommodate the additional people and bring in more revenue. We just need to invest in them. If you listened to our last episode, you know that the water lines, electrical work, and roads in our parks are in dire need of attention, and those projects should be funded soon, before we are forced to close these parks. Once that is taken care of, we can then invest in more projects that truly enhance the experience for both employees and visitors at our parks. Remember, we need to take care of the places we love so much. Doing so will ensure our children and grandchildren will always have a place to make wonderful memories just as we have. Thank you for joining me on this week's episode of the Utah House of Representatives podcast. We'll see you next week.